From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. It's Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras, carnival as they celebrated in countries such as Brazil, El Salvador, and Trinidad. Today, Lost and Found Sound takes us to Trinidad for a story about the birth of the steel drum, or pan, a carnival tradition. The Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, unfold the tale of the legendary Pan Drum Orchestra and the flamboyant American piano virtuoso who championed them. Here's the story of Liberace and the Trinidad Tripoli Steel Band.
Expo 67 in Montreal. I was 14 and went there with my parents. One day, I was walking along between the Ontario Pavilion and the Iran Pavilion, and I heard this sound that was like a luminous cloud, metallic and rhythmic and lyrical, and I followed this sound through the pavilions until I got to this sort of balcony on one pavilion overlooking a body of water, because the whole fair was on islands in the St. Lawrence River. And across there on a big open deck, this band was playing. Guys beating on cans, big like garbage cans. I'd never heard anything like it. Who could resist?
We played at the Trinidad and Tobago Pavilion 2 or 3 shows a day, 28 guys in a group. And we played all kind of music, from classics to calypso to polka, jazz, you know, some of everything. And while we were performing there, Liberace saw the band.
The Trinidad Tripoli Steel Band. At that year, we were the best steel band in Trinidad and Tobago.
Thank you very, very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm anxious to have you meet a very exciting musical organization that I discovered at the Expo in Montreal, Canada. They're making their first national television appearance tonight on the Ed Sullivan program. This is Hugh Bordy, their musical director. The exciting Trinidad Tripoli Steel Band.
We was always shining. Before we met Liberace, we were shining. We were always a very colorful band dressed in lamé. This is Tripoli Pinehead. When we left and went away, this is where we left from. And I'd like, now in Tripoli Pinehead, we have over 180 players there waiting. And the yard packed with people, outside packed with cars. And then we started practice. And the practice is going to go till 5 o'clock in the morning. It was so serious, it was like war. It was close to war. The people who really started the steel drum in those days were the poor, underprivileged person. They were considered as hooligans. My uncle, as a matter of fact, stopped coming to our home here because we playing the steel drum. My mother, who was his only sister.
My father, Hugh Bord, leader and founder of the Trinidad Tripoli Steel Band. I'm Emile Bord. My dad came from an upper middle class family. His dad was a pharmacist. It was a disappointment when he turned to the steel drums. The family wondering why would he associate himself with what we called back then vagabonds. Sort of like how Rasta music, reggae music, started in Jamaica with the lower class and worked its way up.
My name is Abby Ali Bokas. I am 65 years of age. I'm an original member of Tripoli Steel Band. In those days, you know, you couldn't go to high school and be in steel band at the same time. Who went to high school had to discontinue more or less associating with steel band. We had an English society, and anybody who was associated with steel band was stigmatized.
Beating pan or dancing in the street, it was a disgrace. Yeah. You see, the poorer class of people could not afford piano music and all this, so the boys just invented ordinary steel drums. But they were tuned, they played a note, do re mi fa sol la ti do. They played the music by ear, sweet pan music.
Junior Huchette, steel band leader and arranger. There's different opinions on exactly which particular day at what time the steel band started. You know, you have several claims. the forerunner of the steel band, there was a certain thing called the tambu bambu band, which existed in the 20s and 30s in Trinidad, made of different lengths of bamboo shoots and bamboo gourds that were very rhythmic, and carnival days, this was what the local people danced to.
My name is Ellie Manette. People call me the Stradivarius of steel drum. I started playing trash cans around 11 years old in 1937, 38, throw the garbage out and beat on the bottom. The steel drum was born in a very humble way, from African skin drum to the tambu, to the garbage can, to the paint containers, into what we have today.
Welcome back with Liberace. What a great discovery that group are, aren't they?
Yes, this is the Trinidad Steel Band. They've been with me about a year and a half. The music of the steel band has only been around since after World War II, when the island of Trinidad was practically swamped with empty oil drums, such as you see here.
Due to the fact that the steel drum had such a bad reputation, in the early 40s and 50s, we could not get drums to buy, because the Shell Oil Company and the British Petroleum, nobody wanted to sell you a drum. But the Navy, using a lot of oil, thousands of drums pile up on the back of the warehouse a mile high. When the guards are all gone, we will go down there as young boys and steal the drums away from the Navy base and run away with them and try to build them for carnival.
When Roosevelt came to the land of the hummingbird, shouts of welcome were heard. When Roosevelt came to the land of the hummingbird, shouts of welcome were heard. His visit to the island is bound to be an epoch in local history, definitely marking a new era between Trinidad and America.
Calypso and steel band, it always go hand in hand, because when the steel band first started, all they used to play was calypso music. In those days, all the names of the bands came from movie war pictures like Casablanca, To Hell and Back, Desperados, Destination Tokyo, all these names from the old-time movie war pictures. And Tripoli came from the movie with John Payne and Maureen O'Hara, The Shores of Tripoli.
If you played in Renegades and I played in Tripoli, and one of us had to cross an intersection, it would be riots. We had riots among the bands.
My name is Michael Kernahan. I started playing pan within the Tripoli in 1963. The Tripoli band really came to prominence with our arranger, Junior Pouchet, for his arrangements for Gershwin's The Man I Love. We went to the Independence Festival competition. After the impact we made, Esso approached the band and sponsored the band, you know, and uniforms, and it was no looking back after that.
My name is Shannon Dudley, and I'm a professor of ethnomusicology at the University of Washington.
Sponsorship of steel bands was a really important development around the time of independence in 1962. When Eric Williams became the prime minister, he really put the screws, especially on a lot of international companies, to sponsor steel bands. And because, of course, the oil companies were all foreign corporations, they really wanted to get in good with the new government. If Eric Williams promotes the steel band as a symbol of Trinidad's new independent culture, many oil companies were eager to get on board with that and to associate themselves with that symbol.
Hugh Boyd, band leader for the Trinidad Tripoli Steel Band. Our sponsors, Esso Standard Oil, they brought us to the pavilion in Expo 67. We really had a wide repertoire and played music that could be reached by the outside world. When we play in places like Colorado and Kansas, people always say, are you going to play Rondo Capriccioso? Or are you going to play Paganini? Or are you going to play Handel Messiah?
Audience at the Liberace show, 99% white people. You know, the response was great. I remember we playing for like a black audience, and you know, and I don't know, they didn't appreciate what we were doing. We were playing a lot of classical music, and they wanted us to play something by James Brown, and you know.
This is John Squaggett from the John Squaggett's Nugget Hotel Casino in Sparks, Nevada. We never question any sporting act the Liberace brought in. It'd be the greatest surprise of the year. Our early showroom was, we called it the circus room at that time, because we had two elephants on stage, Bertha and Angel. But here's Liberace, and with his, you know how he had that full-length mink coat? He'd come in on Bertha, and more jewelry. He had so many rings he could hardly hold up his hand. And he had the little Angels of Korea, and they were on cycles. But I think one of the outstanding groups was the Trinidad Tripoli Steel Band. All these natives from Trinidad came in and playing music from 55-gallon oil drum. A lot of puff sleeves, a lot of calypso clothes, you know, like from Trinidad. To see that many people from Trinidad up in Sparks, Nevada was... because we do not have a very many people that color of that skin in this area. People just were just overwhelmed by their music.
We were touring as 27 black people with the Liberace show, all in Birmingham, in the South. In those days, Governor Wallace was going up for election, and Lee took a chance.
Liberace!
The only thing I was curious about is where they got the idea for their costumes.
It's clear you have a great influence
on
people.
Liberace.
Liberace never did get a chance to come to Trinidad. We broke a lot of barriers with Liberace because of the music. As music, we all know, is one of the wonders of the world and could go through any barrier.
Well, hello, this is DJ Frederick. You're tuned to the Radio Thrift Shop. You're a time machine into days of futures past. The Radio Thrift Shop features an ever-changing playlist of folk, jazz, easy listening, indie rock, indie pop, privately released and homemade music from the early 1900s to music being released next week. At the thrift shop, we play 78s, 45s, 33s, compact discs, and cassette tapes. This edition of the Thrift Shop, I'm going to start off with a segment that I call the Classical Thrift Shop, which features classical music with curious instrumentation, unique arrangements, or other intriguing aspects from the musical heritage of the past millennium. Readers of J.R.R. Tolkien are going to love this. So on the Classical Thrift Shop segment, I'm going to play the music of Aaron Dunn, the Silmarillion Symphony. Now, Aaron was born in the small town of Niagara Falls in Canada. He had an affinity for music from a very young age and started playing drums at 4 years old and piano a little later on. Over the past decade, Mr. Dunn has honed various musical skills and he's played in bands of many genres. While being most experienced at the bass guitar, he has also been credited in studio for songwriting, guitar, and keyboards. And in 2015, this year, Aaron completed his first record, The Silmarillion Symphony, EP1, The Deeps of Time. So let's start off with The Silmarillion Symphony, a tune called The Music of the Ainur.
Thank you. Thank you.
of Aaron Dunn, the Silmarillion Symphony. We started off with the music of the Aenure, then heard Beginning of Days, and finally, the Union of the Two Kindreds, music inspired by, of course, the Silmarillion by J.R.R. Tolkien. You can learn more at SilmarillionSymphony.com. Well, this is DJ Frederick, and you're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop, your field guide to the dusty side of radio, and I'll be right back after this.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. In the early 70s, rock music was king, and the Rolling Stones ruled the kingdom. Still, with leeches in management as well as record companies, the Stones themselves had little excess money. In 1971, England's tax rate for high earners was 93%. Wrongly trusting untrustworthy management to have paid their taxes, the Stones were faced with bills they could not pay. Exile was their only choice, as with only 7% of current earnings, they could never catch up. In Stones in Exile, the Stones moved to the south of France. Keith rents an old mansion and a recording studio is set up in its basement. Small rooms, damp conditions, unreliable electricity and all. Soon, it was the place to be. Musicians and hangers-on descended. Party all day, create music all night. A utopian bacchanal. And finally, when it turned dark, as these things do, they knew their album, Exile on Main Street, was complete. Stones in Exile is an up-close documentary. It feels like we are there, palpably experiencing the creative spirit as the Stones birth what many say is their greatest album. We leave with greater appreciation for the enduring popularity of these rock legends and wonder at the long-term survival of those who lived such a life. Indie Film Minute, not in theaters, discovery through rental. Find us on the web at www.indiefilmminute.com.
Welcome to Paper Radio, dispatches from the Papernet. JND Ads and Contacts is an occasional newsletter that promotes print and paper publications, reading, writing, and correspondence, physical mail, and pre-internet modes of communication. The 16 pages of JND Ads and Contacts is filled with information about zines, books, a trading network, and a substantial pen pal section. JND is curated by James N. Dawson, whose writing and layout style is very well organized and reader-friendly. You can write to James at P.O. Box 950, Spokane, Washington, 99210. I'm DJ Frederick. See you at the coffee shop.
About the people that made you cry. I suppose it's meant for me.
From the ether. Headlines.
This is Tom Rowe with the radio news about radio waves. James Reed in the Boston Globe reports that efforts have revived to make Roadrunner by the Modern Lovers the official rock song of Massachusetts. In January, a similar bill could not get a floor vote, but last week there was a public hearing about the new bill. Quote, the song really is a love letter to Massachusetts about driving around the state late at night with the radio on. It's just perfect, unquote, said State Senator Robert Hedlund. Last time, Representatives Josh Cutler and James Cantwell countered with a bill that would have made Aerosmith's Dream On the state rock song. So far this time, there is no announced opposition. Comedian John Hodgman submitted his opinion to the hearing. Quote, the song says, I'm in love with Massachusetts. What more testimony need be heard, unquote. This is Tom Rowe reporting for Wave Farm Radio and WGXC.
Yeah.
The continent of Atlantis was an island which lay before the Great Flood in the area we now call the Atlantic Ocean.
To the east, Africa was her neighbor, across a short strait of sea miles. The great Egyptian age is but a remnant of the Atlantic culture. The Andaluvian kings colonized the world, and all the gods that play in all the mythological dramas, from all the legends of all the lands, were from fair Atlantis. And as the elders of our time choose to remain blind, let us rejoice, let us sing and dance, and ring in the new. Hail Atlantis!
Where I want to be.
We've been on a journey from Liberace to J.R.R. Tolkien to the new Christy Minstrels. Here on the Radio Thrift Shop. I'm DJ Frederick saying thank you for listening. Wishing you a wonderful week.
Stars in the sky.
Keep the universal truth of music in your heart. And wherever you are on the planet, take good care of yourself. Take good care of your community. And take good care of those you love. I'll be back next week.